mean, he got really mean at times. Like, I was scared for them.
Oh, he was ruthless.
He was horrible.
Fuck about scary movies.
Well, that was really good, Ed. My God.
Hello?
You gotta click the send button. Hello?
Hello?
Try it again.
Hello? Who's this?
Do you like scary movies?
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Mamma Mia.
Hopefully it's not Halloween.
It sounds like a bunch of people smoking.
You have the
Sorry,
commercial.
I don't have
what was that?
The commercial's going.
Cough.
Okay. You know, we can't just do this off the cuff. I need time to prepare. Welcome to another film in our special Halloween Spooktacular. Actually, it's a double feature here on Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections while one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and calling in over the old rotary telephone are my co-hosts, Jeremiah.
Who gives a fuck about movies?
Yo. Eddie?
What's your favorite scary movie?
And Brandon.
Tell Sydney he never got me. Which I swear to God, the amount of... This taught me something so much about the human biology and how many times you can get stabbed and not die. Because there are some people in this movie...
17 times.
You know,
I really
God.
Feel like it's also... It's what's your favorite scary movie? It wasn't like what's your favorite. It's like what's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah,
like
it's very pleasant at the beginning.
It started off with a regular someone just calling you. Like,
yeah.
Hey, do you have a favorite scary movie? And then it was like cut.
It's like I'm sorry, I have the wrong number.
Well, it was when they hung up, right? Or when they suggested they were going to hang up, and then all of a sudden it's like I'm going to get you from the inside, bitch. And then it was just a little bit like, wow, that turned quick.
Yeah,
that turned really quick,
really fast.
It is now 2022, 2023 with these movies, and the phone rings on the wall, and everyone looks at it and goes, "Who the fuck is calling that one?"
It has a landline. What the fuck?
Hold on, let me. Someone's calling the landline.
And I'll tell you what, I wish. Just a personal aside, I wish we could go back to the landline. I've got a landline at my desk, and that's my office phone. And
it's rotary.
If people
want
to call me,
it's rotary.
That's where they call me. It's not rotary, but when I hang up at the end of the day and leave, it stays there, and I no one chases me down.
That's true.
You know what's funny is Gen Z. There was an interview. I forgot where it was, but Gen Z was like, "I wish there was a phone where you don't have to text and you can strictly call, and like it's connected to the whole family, and everyone's just like,
you're talking about a landline." talking about the 80s where the cord went from the kitchen to the living room, around that to the dining room.
Then you found your way into the garage.
So, a 45-foot cord.
Life changed when you had a portable, man. Oh, shit. Ooh. You can walk anywhere. You can take a shit and actually be on the phone.
Yeah. Right. It happens a lot nowadays. With season 4, we're picking movies that we think will be fun to talk about. Some of these will be from our private collections, while others will be new releases in theaters.
As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question: how many drinks does it take to get through the film that we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate the movie based on a scale of 0 to 5. 0 being a perfect film that you can watch stone cold sober, and 5 being sort of the film that makes you feel like you are attacked by a knife-wielding maniac as you run helplessly through your house or in the city of New York, only to realize there's nowhere to go.
I know. Goddamn Loomis. All right. Anyway, tonight we have a very special twofer, the 2022 requel, Scream, a.k.a. Scream 5, and 2023's follow-up, Scream 6. Scream 5 brings together the remaining original cast of the Wes Craven-directed Scream franchise, which began all the way back in 1996. In this film, Woodsboro, California is once again terrorized by a copycat killer of the original Ghostface murderers. We find the group of soon-to-be victims band together to stop the killer, or is it killers, before they get a knife in the chest, back, hand, or throat. Now, with Scream 6, we see the core four in New York City, where three of them are attending college. As happens, a new ghost face, or again, ghost faces, chase them down, resulting in blood, gnarly deaths, and a new unmasking of the killer that can only be challenged by the very best of Scooby-Doo, because I feel like that's what we care about, is the unmasking. These films star an array of actors, including Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Jenna Ortega, and Melissa Barrera. Scream 5 has earned an IMDb rating of 6.3 out of 10 and has a Rotten Tomato score of 76% with the critics and an audience score of 82%.
Wow.
Right? But Scream 6 has a 6.5 rating on IMDb, a 76% critics, and a 91% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a little bit flippy-floppy, yeah. Right?
Why is IMDb is like completely fucking left field from Rotten Tomatoes scores? That just seems way off.
Well, I'm waiting for Sean to be like, ooh, this is exactly where it should be.
No, but it's not, because I mean, okay, so one of the things that about this franchise that I think is so unique is it has longevity. If you look at some of these other horror franchises, they fade, they come back, they fade, they come back. This particular franchise, I think every single one of them has added something to the canon that is Ghostface. Even if you didn't care for the movie that much, it expanded the universe and it made it fun. And there was not one where I'm like, oh fuck, that was terrible.
Yeah, you know what I think it is, considering, like, you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th and even Nightmare on Elm Street. And granted, I haven't seen all the follow-ups, but I feel like what makes Scream work is that it doesn't try to reinvent the wheel. It basically says, let's take a good thing and let's continue to roll with it.
Personally, what makes this franchise different than the other franchises, all the other ones, is it's one killer. It's the same killer over and over again. Freddy, Halloween, Jason, you know, Hellraiser. You get the same character over and over again, and they can't die. It's unbelievable. In Scream, Ghostface dies, right? Every movie dies. And then it's possible that somebody takes up the next legacy. It's almost like it's infinite amount of killers, if you think about it. It could be anyone that pisses off, you know, Gail or good old Dewey, or good old Sidney Prescott, something that they pissed off down the road. Anyone could be a killer in this series, which makes it very special in my eyes.
To add to what both you guys are saying, I just love the fact that Scream makes fun of all horror trends, literally throughout the franchise. Slasher films, horror remakes of classic horror films, found footage horror films,
requels,
non-elevated horror films. It literally makes fun of, like, go fuck yourself with all these films. You know, true slasher films, a true slasher film, and Scream, it every movie, it keeps bringing it to another level, which I really fucking like.
And when, I mean, there was, I don't remember which one it was, but it was either 5 or 6 where she resuscitates all the movies that brought back the OG legacy characters only to kill them to perpetuate the story. It's like, well, you know, they're all just on the fucking chopping block. Everyone could die. Yes. And it's just like, it's so funny because that's what, I mean, Star Wars ruined it because they brought back, all it did was bring back your 3 OG characters to kill them. Versus this one where they kill a legacy character in 5, you really feel it means something. It's it's not just a death for, it's not just killing Han Solo for Han Solo's sake. It's killing part of the franchise. It's almost like part of the franchise has to die in order to move forward.
That being said, let's give a little cheers to Deputy Dewey and let's talk about the drink.
Moment of silence.
How's every, sorry, guys. Yeah, I get
started already?
Like we have.
Sorry, listeners, we forgot the drink.
Yeah, we forgot the drink. Eddie, take us to the cocktail, please.
I guess we're just past this. Okay. So tonight we're drinking the Woodsboro Slasher from the Two Geeks Who Eat.com. I just don't know where he finds these drinks, but it's called the Woodsboro Slasher. To make this drink, combine 3/4 an ounce.
Eddie, before you go further, he found it at TwoGeeksWhoEat.com.
It is.
Yeah, it's his book.
TwoGeeksWhoEat.com. I mean, that's a tongue twister.
To make this drink, combine 3/4 of silver rum, fancy pineapple, 1/2 ounce of strawberry puree, 1/2 ounce of kiwi syrup, 3/4 ounce of lime juice into a shaker with ice. Shake it, strain, and enjoy. And since this is a special 2-film episode of The Gentleman, make it a double. But also make sure you lock all the doors and don't answer the phone and keep a big-ass knife next to your bed.
And don't look for weird sounds outside your house.
Yeah. And have never your dog, go chase the sound.
Keep
ever.
Your dog with you as well. You know, like have a pet with you.
I'll never forget, me and Jeremiah were sitting on the couch one day and we heard this big old bang from the attic. And he looks at me like, oh my God. And I'm like, it's a cat. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. Because you never chase the sound.
It's not the cat.
You never chase the sound.
And then you saw 2 cats walking past. It wasn't the fucking cat, bro.
Dude, It was a door that slammed.
Shh, that's scary. So Amanda and I are watching this, and we're watching it at like 11:30 p.m. because we got the kids to bed, and I think it was 5. I don't think it was 6. And so we're watching it, and we have all the lights off, but we have a nightlight in our little hallway area for the kids when they have to get up. Anyway, so we're watching it, and out of the corner, both of our eyes, we see the shadow that just literally looms over the entire room, and both of us like gasp audibly. And it was our fucking cat walking.
And then he held her in front of him.
Mandy, you're on your own, Dave. Get out of here. But oh my God, you literally
ditched her.
Listen, a little pee probably escaped my body because I was scared, pissless. My God.
Brandon, you've this is all new to you, right? You've never watched any of these.
Let me tell you real quick. Let me catch all of you listeners up to speed. I have never seen the Scream movies. I never really wanted to see the Scream movies, except you guys kept mentioning Scream movies. So I'm like, at some point in my life, I should probably just watch Scream 1. Jeremiah has a pick for the movie, and then he decides to just retcon that shit at the last second and says, let's do Scream 5. And I'm like, fuck, okay,
shocker.
Great. So I say, well, I should probably see Scream 1 to get caught up. And I go online and I realize, ooh, you know what? I'm going to have to go rent it from Amazon or something. So, ooh, Walmart has a deal. All 6 movies for $40. I'm going to go get that because you know what? You might as well have it for your collection. We sit down. We watch Scream 1. We put it in at 11:30 p.m. We're up till 3 a.m. having watched 3 of them in a row. And literally all I can think about is what I would do if I hear sounds outside and I'm like trying to make a plan, but also realizing that I'm never going to look at Amanda and say, I'll be right back. So basically what I'm saying is I'm a fucking fan. And right now I'm wearing a fucking ghost face t-shirt. I am a fucking fan at this point. So Jeremiah, this is all you. This is all you. You could never make a Halloween fan out of me.
Thank you.
You could never make a Michael Myers fan out of me. But you know what? You made a Ghostface fan.
So Jeremiah did that to me a couple of years ago during COVID.
So lucky.
He got me to watch. He got me to watch like 5. You know, COVID, you were just home alone. Like, or we were home just fucking hanging out. And she was like, okay, let's watch The Thing. Let's watch Alien. Let's watch. And I'm like, oh my God. And then he didn't have Scream 4. Oh. Or something. You didn't have Scream 4, I don't think.
Scream 4 is the hardest movie to find. It is like it is the lost sheep of all sheeps of fucking horror movies.
So literally at that time I bought the Blu-ray all 4 in one combo. I swear to God, during COVID I spent all my money on, like, every week was just like 20 Blu-rays. All right, let's talk about Scream 5. All right, so... So Scream 5, you have the introduction of a new kind of Drew Barrymore character who I was under the impression she was just going to be Slash at the very beginning and then done. And so you had, you know, which I don't mind if they're redoing or you know, kind of rebooting or redoing a franchise. I love that they brought in a new fresh face, Jenny Ortega, who we covered in Wednesday. If you want to really enjoy yourself, go listen to our Wednesday podcast. I believe that's our top rated podcast as of right now.
For our show. Yes, it is one of the best. It's one of our top rated episodes.
Our top listened to episodes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was going to say that Jenny Ortega, you know, being introduced, they kind of do a new retcon of the cell phone and the landline. And then all of a sudden you've got a ghost face in the house that stabs Jenny Ortega with reckless abandon. The first thing I noticed about this movie versus all the other ones is they upped the violence by 25%.
Fucking brutal.
It was aggressively stabbing at her insides. What did you guys think?
I'm going to take this one real quick. So there are two parts in that beginning that had me squirming and actually hating Jeremiah just a little bit because he turned me onto this franchise. And when I see... when I see Ghostface Newbie smash her poor little leg and just you see the thing just fold in half, I thought I was going to die at that point. And then when he stabs her through the hand, wow. So all I can say is Sean, you hit it on the mark, man, that this is taking it to a whole new level. And then once we get to 6, it takes it to a whole new level of violence.
So I even got the vibe of Scream 5, just the way it started. You instantly got, okay, Scream 1. It almost looked like the same house, too, for me. It was like, is this the same house? Like, did they, I was thinking, I was like, I was thinking, did they like somebody buy this house and maybe it's about the house maybe, and maybe there's, you know, I don't know. I just started thinking, but then it was Jenna showed up. Yeah, and Jenna Ortega showed up. And then instantly you got the idea of like, okay, oh, Ghostface is at the friend's house. This is a different little twist, and it was cool. And you get the idea of like, that's where they flipped you, and it made you think instantly, okay, there has to be two now. Right. That's where I thought.
In the first moment, they show you, hey, there's two killers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. And I just thought, like, instantly violence. I was just like, oh, she's dead. Oh, no, she's alive. Okay. How did this happen?
Yeah, to piggyback what all you guys are saying, I feel like this is one of the best openings for any Scream movies since the original, for movie 5, before we got to movie 6. It's fucking brutal. It is hard to watch. And it's also great to hear Roger Jackson's voice, just iconic, man. So smoothly, like, you know, hi, how you doing? Just regular call, right? And then he just flips it.
Goes into that growl.
Goes into that voice. Yeah, seriously, dude. I thought that was really fucking cool, man. I thought it was a fantastic opening going right to it. And yeah, I was surprised. Like, Ortega survives. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Shit, what the hell?
So, and one of the aspects of this type of retconning, or what are we calling it? A requel?
It's a requel. It's,
yeah. So
threw me for a loop.
Yeah, if you look at something like what they did with Star Wars, the new Disney trilogy, or you know, all these other reboots they're doing, they want to make it feel like you're introduced to the same world. And what this movie did is, like, for the first 10 minutes, they said, hey, we're going to give you almost a shot for shot, like, feel of the first movie. We're actually going to set it up like it's the first movie. We're not going to introduce any OG characters, no legacy characters, except for at all in the first like 15-20 minutes. They're like, no, it's not a reboot, it's something completely different. I think that right there makes it look so really cool.
Sean, you're absolutely right that it was really, really cool that we got a brand new kind of introduction to new characters. And I mean, I'll be honest, the fact that she survived shocked me. I knew that she survived because I knew that she was in number 6, so it's kind of not fair. But what I do love is that they married the new characters and the old characters so well, right? They get this idea of I mean, I think Dewey, Sean, you call him a dumbass. I think that he's a fucking local, and he's a legend. He is a hero. And the fact that they he's go to legend. Him, right? They
I
go
love
to
Dewey.
Him, and we find out that he's, you know, fallen on some fucking hard times. And yet at the same time, he's the kind of thread that brings everybody together. I think is fucking, it's just brilliant. I think it's a really great, smart movie. And I mean, I have nothing but praise for a lot of what they do for these movies, because it is smart. And Jeremiah, you said this earlier, it is parodying, but at the same time, it's, you know, meta commenting on and critiquing all these different kinds of stories. Yet at the same time, what it's doing is it's offering a story that is unique and interesting on its own.
I was really happy when Dewey came back, and then I was really sad with how he went out this
I'm so
episode.
Pissed.
So I thought he should have went out better. That he knows the rules of a movie, and I just thought, like, it, you know, I was hoping for him to something for him to draw a little bit more spectacular in front of people, or maybe dying in front of for Sydney. He was so alone, and it was a sad, and I didn't really enjoy that for his character, and for being a, what is it called, legacy character. And even the killer said, "Oh, this is an honor." And it was just like, I wish it would have been, I don't know, maybe even for Stewie to lift up the face off the person, just something a little bit more. Because Dewey is smart. So it's just like, why he wouldn't put himself there. I don't know. I didn't like the way he went out.
Let's first discuss the fact that this hospital has terrible security.
Oh, god awful.
Terrible security. Awful. And you've got, so yeah, you've kind of got these people going to Dewey, and then Dewey reluctantly gets involved. I'm really happy they're moving the story away from Sydney Prescott. So let's start there.
I think
she's done. Nev Campbell's done.
I'm sad.
If she wants to do a spinoff, she can do a spinoff of her own. But I like the new core four. I like this new group that they've created. And I'm looking forward to over the next 20 years watching them die one by one by one by Absolutely. One by one.
Well, they're also related to the original right. family member. So Billy Loomis, he had his daughter. You know, what was her name?
Sam Carpenter.
Yeah. Sam Carpenter. Anyway, so regarding Dewey, though, Dewey's death, I think that at this point, when he turns from the elevator, gets everyone to safety, turns and pulls out his gun, to me, this is a very sacrificial death in that that showed in the franchise that this is the sacrifice that requires to move forward. You need to kill a legacy character. It would have been much easier to kill Sidney Prescott or even Courtney Cox. This is the one that hurt the most. Dewey's the one that hurt the most. Absolutely. So when I call him a dumbass, it's like, protect yourself at all costs, you dumbass.
Yeah.
You know that you're the prized possession of this franchise, and we're going to kill you first.
No, but I agree with what you're saying here, man. Like, you know, it had to happen because, you know, now it kind of much pretty much shows like anyone can fucking go out. Mm-hmm. Anyone can fucking, like, you know, be, you yeah. know, the next person that's going to, like, you know, fall to the ghost face. I don't like it, to be quite honest. I thought that was kind of a cheap shit, you know, because yeah. honestly, like, I felt like there's no way that Ghostface, these Ghostface killers would have got the best of fucking Dewey.
Especially, Gale, like, you know, Gale needs to be the one that goes.
Of all the other Ghostfaces that he's experienced, I just didn't really buy it. Exactly. However,
yeah.
But, you know, I agree. Like, you know, when I was watching this movie and he's like, I need to stop and look at the kill. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You're going to die. This is when I'm like, great, great. Dewey's going to go out, dude.
Son of a bitch. And as far as like being in front of other people, I don't think that you necessarily need to have it in front of other people. However, the way that he died, like with two knives up, splayed yeah. open, you know, I felt like that was at least a legitimate, like kill shot. It was like, yeah, this one got him. There's, you know, what do you always say, Jeremiah? There's dead. There's
mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
And there's no way coming back from this one.
No. So I was just going to ask kind of on that point where, and Sean, you kind of answered it, but were you satisfied with his kill? Because I'm sitting there kind of thinking like, okay, so your favorite characters, and Dewey, I think it's got to be one of our favorite. It's one of my favorite characters in, you know, these types of movies. Do you want to see him have like the most brutal, horrendous, heinous death ever? Like, is that what we want for our favorite characters? Or do we want them to just not die peacefully? Because obviously that's not the case, but not be butchered to that extent. And I was kind of conflicted. It's kind of like this idea, you know, of playing sports. It's like, you know, I always heard, you know, coaches say, well, it's better to just get completely like blown out than having a really close game. And I'm like, is it though? Is it better to have that?
No,
like
not really.
Do you think that Dewey had a good death?
In The Walking Dead, the caliber of your character was always marked by the significance around your death.
Yeah.
How disappointed would you have been, and I'm jumping ahead to number six, if Gale got stabbed once and died?
That's a post.
Like, after
eight,
all that.
Eight.
After all fucking that.
Just think about this, man. Like, you want your favorite people to go out fucking in a blaze of glory, dude. Like, yeah. You want them to fucking, like, you know what? You know, I almost got you, but you got me in the end and shit like that. And yes. That's what happened to Dewey, man, you know?
The way Jamie Kennedy went out in number two was just kind of like, ugh, come on.
They fucked up on that one, dude. That was a mistake there. And I think Absolutely. They fucking knew it, dude. But also, too, that was the first time that someone got killed during daytime.
Yes.
So that was like, oh, shit. Anything can fucking happen. So, I mean, you know, it was fucking.
I'm going to go ahead and reject that premise, though, because the principal got killed in broad daylight in his office. So,
I'm talking about in the college scene in the parking lot, like, not in a private room.
That was in a public,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Harry Winkler.
So, what was his name? What was that guy's name? Because he has two twins.
Jamie Kennedy.
So, his name was Randy. Yeah. His character's name was Randy. So
Randy has a sister, and then Randy's sister is the one that had the two twins.
With who is it? It's Chad and Mindy Meeks. With they're just kind of like their uncle Randy, right. You know, just yeah. really knowledgeable movie about the horror films and shit.
And once that again, cool. you had some. Once again, you yeah. had some beautiful, you know, symmetry between this film and the first film. It was the same house. It was Stu's house that they lived in.
That was cool.
Or that they went to that party in. You know, even Misty.
Oh, no, Mindy.
The twin, Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
Mindy, my favorite part is when she gets stabbed after the couch debacle, just like her, like, and she goes, I'm wrong again? And it's like, So I will say, okay, so I have been wrong every single Scream movie until five. So did you guys guess any killers before this movie or in this movie?
Yes.
Which ones did you guess, Brandon?
So I knew Timothy Oliphant in two. I knew that was who it was. I had a real strong, I'm not going to say I knew for a fact, but I had a real strong suspicion that it was Amber in five. Like that just, it seemed so obvious that she's hardly in the movie, right? She's there, but she's not really there. I thought they kind of dropped the ball a little bit, I think, with Amber here. Now, the boyfriend, Sam's boyfriend, that one threw me for a loop. That one did.
Oh, see, that's the one I got. Really? That's the one I was certain of.
It's always the boyfriend, dude.
It's always the boyfriend. It was the same as the first one. I thought it was going to be the other twin, the boy twin who got jacked up and stabbed. I thought he was going to end up being the other scream face or whatever you want to call it, ghost face, because it was that would have mirrored so closely like the first one, right? Yeah. So two men.
I'm glad
going
they
at
took it a little bit different, you know. Jeremiah,
what
did you see it being either you know Amber or the boyfriend Richie?
No, I didn't think it was gonna be Amber. For some reason in the back of my head, I always thought it was gonna be like Neve Campbell's character. Like I thought that was gonna be like the greatest like reveal or something like that.
No, that's gotta be the conclusion to all the screams.
Yeah,
she's gotta come back out of retirement and she's gotta fucking kill everyone associated just to stop the disease.
So. I knew for a fact that once I saw Richie. Yeah, I was just like, oh, this motherfucker's the killer, dude. I mean, come on.
He's too much of a movie nut.
He's like, I've been here the whole time. I'm like, no, you haven't. You liar, motherfucker. Yeah.
I have watched you. I have watched you.
I've watched you. You have not been here this whole time. And then you kind of know from previous Scream movies, right, that you kind of know – okay, like it's a twist. It's you know, one time it was, you know, the parent and then a friend, a college friend, and then the only time it was a single killer was part three when it was like the stepbrother. So they have these twists and turns, and I had a feeling that it was going to be Richie. I just didn't know who else it was. I knew it was one of the other friends somewhere in there. I just knew it was Richie for sure.
Now I do want
part of me. I was like, maybe it's Jenny Ortega. Like I was like, I'm the biggest with these. Usually I'm really good. Agatha Christie books. I can pretty much get them. I can get pretty much any movie plot really quickly. And then I'm at this one. These Scream movies, they baffle me every time. And then I start going off the rails. Yep. Like, well, maybe it's Courtney Cox. Maybe she's the one killing.
Maybe it's the main character. Maybe it's Sam. Maybe she's a double personality and she's a slime.
That would be badass.
She goes into Billy's, like, you know, aura. I don't know.
I don't want to go too far in the past, like a week, but we just did Friday the 13th, right? And my biggest complaint was that there's no mystery. Like, we know who can't be the killer. And I want to just bring this up because I think that Screams, all six of them, do this perfectly. And I made a little joke about Scooby-Doo, but it's ultimately that, right? It is leading up and you're right, Sean. It could have been any one of those kids, right? It could have been the twins. It could have been, you know, it could have been basically anybody but Jenna Ortega's character. And we have so many little traps that could easily point to, right, anybody. And I think that this is what I was talking about with Friday the 13th, is that it needs to have this mystery. It needs to have this whodunit kind of thing. Jeremiah.
So, Brandon, the reason why Friday the 13th is what it is and what Scream is that Scream lets the viewers be a part of the mystery and shit. So we get to go and sit around in the campfire and actually explain the rules, explain the details, explain who should be the killer or who should not be the killer. And we're all in the same kind of joke. We're all on the same kind of wavelength. And that's what makes Scream's movies so fucking great, especially when you know they're going to have like, you know, an explanation about the rules and shit. You're a part of what's happening there. And that's what makes it better than some of the OG slasher films.
Yes, I agree.
In my opinion.
I agree.
Yes. I mean, that's what makes it the best. Eddie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, no, you're good. I was going to say, I do think part five or this, you know, Scream 5, they had the weakest reason why. Ooh, I didn't like, so? You know, they were the weakest. Yeah, I did. Because I think all the other ones, I think all six movies, I think all of them have better reasons. You know, one of them is the niece. There's another one where it's the stepbrother. There's another one where it's the mom and a friend. And then the original Billy and Stu. So I just feel like Amber didn't have a good reason why. There was no reason. It's the girlfriend of Richie. And Richie, it needs to be a better movie. It needs to be a better ending. There was no real good reason why. He was just wanting it to be a weird version of, he wanted to kill off people. It wasn't good enough for me, for him to jump into this Woodsboro and become a killer.
All right. So for me, this was the perfect storyline for this movie, yep, because it mirrors Hollywood's desperation to resurrect characters rather than create new ones. He is so desperate to bring back a franchise that should have stayed dead. In all intents and purposes, this franchise was over. It did not need to come back. Wes Craven has passed on. And yet Hollywood saw fit to do it not just once, but now twice and probably three or four more times. And for me, they're so desperate to have a new, fresh story that is so uniquely like the original that it was perfect. He was the perfect person.
The word is desperate.
No,
it felt desperate,
of course.
The killers.
But it was supposed to feel desperate. That's the whole thing. It's mirroring the desperation.
Brandon, I'll go after you.
Yeah, no, so one other thing, and I really like that, Sean. I think it is a meta critique on Hollywood, but I think it's also a meta critique on fans. Like, I mean, absolutely, it's a meta critique on
Scream fans wanting more.
And if you look at it, Amber, she isn't just the girlfriend, right? She's the one they connected on this, you know, this Reddit page or whatever of over the top stab fans. And it's this idea of becoming part of the film, not understanding that there's a screen and that one is fictional and make believe and one is real life. And I think that in a lot of ways, that's kind of it's an actual scary concept when you realize that there are people who cannot distinguish fact from fiction or movie from real life. And I feel like this was a great critique on both the Hollywood system and on the fans, including Scream fans. Jeremiah.
No, Eddie, this is how I think about this, the two killers here. Just think of Brandon, you know, how he's really hardcore with the Star Wars movies and shit like that, and that he's such a fucking fan of the originals, and he'll go to the end of the world to fucking prove why the originals should be the originals, and there should be no remakes and no fucking sequels.
I agree with you 100%.
I mean, I understand. Those characters are like Brandon right there when you think about it. But what I'm trying to say is that this is the first Scream film where neither of the killers were connected to the Sydney or didn't have any type of motivation to kill her.
Very true.
I didn't really like that part of it because it didn't really follow like from the legacy that I was hoping for. Like I thought there was going to be more until like someone's like Sydney's past or like, you know, Stu, who I'm currently waiting for him to come back. And so I can see Stu. Why Eddie's saying that because you're just like, oh, you're just there because
Stu
you're
ain't
a super
coming back,
fan,
bro.
You know? Oh, he's coming back.
You think Stu's coming back?
No, I'll tell you this much. Stu was supposed to come back on the third Scream movie, and they were supposed to, but because of the Columbine situation, they changed the script the very last minute and removed it from high school and decided to put it into Hollywood and shit like that.
Interesting.
But they changed it the very last minute. So Stu is somewhere out there, supposedly.
Really?
And here's my question is, where's the mom?
Where are the parents? These, like, you know, question mark. These people. Right? Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, it's a horror movie, Brandon. They're on vacation.
But I'm looking at. So, we're sitting there. We're sitting there watching it. And literally, you know, Jenna Ortega's character, Terry, gets completely butchered, but still survives somehow. And she's like dying in a hospital, but still alive. And the mom's notified. And the mom's just like, I'm chilling out in France. And I get that there was like this like connection issue. But all I'm saying is this right now. Okay. Macaulay Culkin. Kevin McAllister's mom found a way, right? She found a way to get from France to Chicago. If my kid is sitting there in a hospital, right? Seriously, I'm saying that she would find a way. She doesn't care about her kid. So what I'm going to say right now is number seven, Jeremiah, is going to be Tara's mom. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to let you know, there was a mom and a son in this movie, part five, and they got the worst fucking killing, I thought, dude.
Oh, God.
She literally got killed in front of the door. The
sheriff hits, right?
No, that's
and then the son from Jack from Lost, I mean, he got fucked up, man.
Can I ask why the shower scene?
It was the throwback to Psycho. Come on, buddy. You should have known that one.
Come on. I know, well, I got it.
Is that the one where he gets set? His name is Wes, right? Yeah. Wes hits, so he gets stabbed like...
Through the mouth.
Yeah.
And you see it go through the cheek. That's all. Oh, Jesus.
That was badass. And that's another day kill.
And it was right after Mindy said, you're no one. You're not at risk at all.
I know, right?
Seriously.
You know, I just want to talk about Dewey real quick because I missed out on when you guys reviewed Scream. And so I had seen Scary Movie. So I'd seen Scary Movie and I hadn't seen Scream. So a lot of the jokes in Scary Movie probably just I missed. But I remember watching Scream 1, you know, not that long ago when I started my binge, and I looked at David Arquette and the way that he ran and like was all goofy and yes, a dumbass at that point. I literally thought that I'd put in Scary Movie. And I thought, who the fuck is he trying to be here? Like, it was.
I thought he was the killer of number one. Everyone. I thought he was Ghostface.
Yes, I did too. I did too.
Everyone thought he was the killer in one, two, and three. He's like, this guy has to be a killer.
This guy's got to be a killer at some point.
I love how he limps at times and he doesn't limp at times. And he's like, I got a jacked up leg and a shoulder. But all of a sudden, I'm over there like reaching.
Oh, he had the whole Kaiser Sose like limp going on in fucking part two. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, three hits, and he's like miraculously healed.
Oh, Jesus. Physical therapy, man. He does a lot of physical therapy.
He's Dirty Harry, too, with his gun. All of a sudden, he's like badass with the shot.
He still couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Let's finish out number five, because I think that, you know, the integration of Courtney Cox and the integration of Sydney was perfect toward the end to kill the girl. What was her name?
That was
girl
Amber.
Amber.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was really funny when she just comes out and shoots her in the head. Like
I literally love how they all come back.
They always come back.
They always come back. All of them.
Did you notice that was the same girl from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Where she was the one of the
End? Was she the dog?
The ones who got hit by the can?
She the dog food girl?
Yeah, she was the one, but also got tortured by the fire. And yet in this movie, she also got tortured in the fire.
That's called typecasting, right?
I'm
going to
watch that again.
Did Richie come back too? Who was the last one killed? Was it Richie or was it Amber?
Amber was, because she was like out looking like Freddy Krueger, you know, and all burnt and everything.
Yeah, and Richie, she kept shooting in the head or stabbing. No, she kept stabbing.
Dude, she stabbed that guy so many times.
40,000 times.
So Brandon, you didn't like that she had like these little visions with Billy, like Billy in the background saying,
I think that's you know,
make me proud or any of that type of shit. You didn't like that?
Palpatine.
No, I didn't. And you know why I didn't? And this is simply put, and I know that Sean's going to throw some shit at me or somebody is because of The Ring, but you have a movie right here that's situated in the real world, right? Not having these extra, you know, extrasensory, you know, specials or whatever, ESP kind of thing. And
she's
then all
schizophrenic.
Of a, I know
bro.
She's schizophrenic, but at the same time,
her dad's psycho, a fucking dude. Killer, bro.
I thought it was so lame. And then wait till we get to six, and he's like, "Yes, that knife." And I'm like, "God damn it! Just take Billy out of it." Like,
I'm not gonna lie. I love Skeet Ulrich. I love Skeet Ulrich. Anytime I get to see him, that was the biggest fucking twist.
I'm with Sean here.
Yes, I agree. Sean, do your hair like him one day, please.
You just have his hair
right down the middle and just long, and just like come on.
Sure. All right. Everything is one big scary movie.
So number six, I think has probably one of the best opens I've ever seen from a Scream movie. I was watching it going, what the fuck? Like, I that's what I was thinking. It was a stab movie, or it was a college like a film, like they were just doing a film. Mm-hmm. And for me, I legitimately didn't know what was going on until about halfway through, and that's something that surprises. It sounds arrogant, but I usually know what the fuck's going on in movies. I've watched hundreds and hundreds of movies. This one caught me off guard. I had no idea it was real. Anybody else?
Well, kill her and then kill him.
And she's also like a young, big name actress. So everyone was thinking the whole idea of a Drew Barrymore. Oh my God, they killed her. You know, they killed this nice actress that was supposed to be, you know, popular soon.
Do you know who that actress is?
Mm-mm. No.
Yes.
That's Hugo Weaving's daughter.
No.
Oh. She was fantastic.
And I loved how he drew her from the bar into the alley. And then you have – okay, I have a question, though. Were the costumes always that sparkly?
There's just different costumes variations, that you usually get. Yeah, variations.
Because then you go back to the apartment, and then the apartment scene – to me, the apartment scene is like he gets off on this like – that he's talking to the Ghostface killer, and that he like I don't know, there's something about them. Like he said, we're not going to use the voice, but then he starts to like get into it. Was it just me, or was it like?
Oh no,
I don't know. No. It's feeding some desire.
I can tell you this, guys. Like I say that this intro is one of the most interesting, and I thought it was a game changer, and I thought it could have been more of a game changer, because I thought for a second that you were actually seeing the killer right away. And then like we had to wait for the rest of the audience to figure out, or the cast to figure out that that is the killer. So the killer, you already know that the killer is happening here. I did not know that they were trying to plan a fucking like Scream movie or something like that, kind of to live Richie's legacy.
Richie's legacy.
So we kind of find out that, oh shit, there's a whole nother Ghostface here. And when he says, who gives a fuck about movies? That's when you know, like, oh, this Ghostface is not like the rest of the Ghostface. Right, this Ghostface right. is going on a different fucking way, dude. So I thought that intro was fucking great.
It was almost a serial killer taking over as opposed to like,
oh yeah.
I don't know. It was completely different. To me, this was a completely different movie than any of the other Screams from the perspective of the villain had a different motive. Now, same motive as like two or three.
Yeah.
But at the same time, his motive was more showmanship. It was more like honorable. It was honoring yes. his son's legacy. And I think the fact that, okay, just to set up this concept where they're going to use the different Ghostface costumes throughout the series, and they're using the OG, cool. and it's a little fucking yeah. fucked up, badass. And the different knives. I thought that concept was brilliant. And that's why when Hayden Panettiere showed up on fucking screen, all of a sudden I'm like, are you the killer? Because who has access to all this evidence?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's got to be her. It's got to be her.
Yeah. You kind of figured out it was the police officer.
Yeah, you police officer. It has to be one of you.
You knew it was the police officer.
Jeremiah, I know that you've got your saying, and Sean's already said it, right, that there's dead and there's mostly dead and there's dead off screen. And there. But listen, when Hayden Panettiere just shows up out of nowhere and is like, I'm FBI now, and I didn't even care that she was FBI. It was literally, how the fuck did she survive in 4?
She was just dead. She was just dead. That's why.
She was just dead.
We didn't see her die on screen, so that's the most important thing. Because every
Brandon,
person that we
if you
ever
don't
seen
take
in Scream,
your last breath, you don't die.
You just see their dead body.
Stu wasn't there.
It's true. Chad literally should have died 7 times over. I don't know how the hell that guy survives at the end. He's just like, I'm going out on a stretcher. Yeah, I'm on a stretcher. I'm thumbs up.
Yeah, the brother. How is the brother continuously surviving?
Dale survives that
40 times, dude.
Yeah,
by 2 killers.
I really felt so bad for Chad. I was just like, Chad's really gone this time. He can't survive after this. He
goes out of the structure like this, like
no more chloroform. Like the remaining 3.
And then it's funny how Madison or Mason, the sister's like, I missed it again, or like she was like upset that. Like, yeah.
She can't pick him to say that's how she's going to die. She's actually going to be right one time.
I'll tell you this much. This movie had 3 great sequences here. The one at the liquor store, the one yes. in the subway, and the opening scene. Oh I God. Thought those oh, scenes
the liquor store
were
was
fucking
fucking
great
amazing.
For yes. the Scream franchise. Yes.
I'll add Let's one too. The killing of the shrink of Henry Cavill or what's his name? I'm sorry. Henry Chesney. No. That was a great fucking kill. Where he kills him through the door. Like that, mm-hmm. that, oh my God. Like
yes.
for me,
the ladder scene. Holy shit.
Yeah. For me, what this movie did is it took Ghostface from like this running figure with the arms in the air, like chasing down people to this is a violent, vengeful person.
Yes.
Who's calculated and good at fucking like good at killing. Because let's break down the liquor store scene. Mm-hmm. First of all, he was so fast. He moved so fast. And I don't know if that was speeding up the film or what they did, but when he avoids a shotgun, he moved so violently and quickly, and he was always there. And then you had like that raptor scene, right, where the mm-hmm. kids are on one side of the it was like Jurassic Park, like yep. Jeremy, I see your narrowed brow, like when the kids yeah. are hiding behind the thing and like the raptor like is just kind of like hanging out figuring out where they are. Like that's what I got from it is
yeah,
Jurassic Park
on glass. Yeah.
Those are great scenes all throughout New York. The setting was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing
to be in New York.
It was amazing.
I liked it.
Yeah. So listen, one thing we didn't talk about with 5, and I'm sure that you probably talked about it with 1 way back when, but one thing that stood out to me, and this is for Screams 1 through 6, is how clumsy and realistic the killer is, right? I mean, he's stumbling over they are stumbling over themselves constantly. They're getting the shit beat out of him. Gale beats the literal shit out of him. And you know, granted, there's that like almost Michael Myers-esque, they're superhuman kind of strength, and they're able to come back from anything. And like, they're there 1 second, they're gone another. And I'll give it to you. That's Michael Myers, Ed. But I think it's a really interesting move that they weren't so infallible that they were perfect. And I think that that's a really, really interesting aspect to the killer that makes them even scarier, because again, it's a human underneath that mask.
Yeah.
And who knows what the fuck a human is going to do.
The only thing I had a problem with this movie is that I didn't think they took the advantage of using the city as a character. How would it have been cool if you would have seen Ghostface in, you know, Times Square,
yes,
or Central Park, mm-hmm, or like one of the buildings or something like that. Just more about it. This movie, you can tell, was not filmed in New York. It was only filmed like during the subway scene, which I thought that was fantastic. It was paranoia. It was like claustrophobic, mm-hmm, seeing everyone dressed in Halloween. By the way, the first fucking screen movie in Halloween, by the way, you see everyone dressed in character, and that sequence is so fucking cool. But I just wish that they would have brought more of the New York city life into the movie.
I think it would have been a little redundant, and I don't disagree with you necessarily, Jeremiah, but it would have been the subway sequence was so phenomenal in that you had multiple ghost faces, probably 10 people with masks on,
ghost face, yeah.
and to have that one ghost face just like turn like, mm-hmm, and come at you, and the dark and the light and the dark and the light, that sequence to me was New York. You could have done it on the street, you could have done it anywhere where there's a crowd. And I know that, you know, like, I don't, what is he going to do? Hang out at the, like, you know, the Empire State Building, or like, no, but like just because you didn't see iconic New York things.
But I think Times Square, seeing him run around Times Square, that would have been badass.
The reason why I say this, Sean, is that because in Friday the 13th, part 8, when Jason Takes Manhattan, they kind of sold it like, oh, he's going to be in New York, Jason. And they kind of did the same thing with like a Ghostface. Ooh, you know, he's prowling over the city, or he's in the subway, you know. I just wish there would have been a little more of New York, just to have like, holy shit, you know, this is completely like, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore.
So this is the part of the movie. I think this was one of the scenes where it got really confusing of, okay, well, who's the killer? Because that guy who was just the random the classmate, the student, you know, who, yeah, at first you made you think like the whole time I was thinking he was the killer, but then it's like he was there, he was looking suspicious the whole time, he was looking at her, and then like he went away, but then he never really changed into her, the ghost face, somebody else did. It was right, or was it him that was there a ghost face in there?
What threw me off was, in two of the attacks, you had the apartment attack and then you had the subway attack, where he was present, not in Ghostface, and getting attacked like everyone else.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're trying to say, is that, yeah, the girl, having the girl die in the apartment and then be like the secondary Ghostface character,
beautiful,
was so powerful. And then you had, I think that the boy, the curly haired boy, was the one that was in the convenience store.
Mm-hmm. No.
I thought that was the dad.
Why? Well, it's never the dad.
Because the dad knows how to handle a shotgun. He knew exactly how to do, like, you know, well, hand-to-hand combat and whatnot. The boy, the guy, he was inside the room with the whole ladder scene. That was the boy.
I could see that.
And the girl was the one that was facing
Gail.
Gail.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
That's the thing about Scream here, guys, is that when you watch it over, you can, like, play the game like, okay,
I love that game.
Which one's the killer? Mm-hmm. Every single Scream movie.
Have you guys done that?
More watchable.
Sean or
Brandon? I've only seen it once.
And actually guess, okay, this has to be this character because, yeah, the other character's there. Or this.
Exactly. Right.
That's badass.
I mean, honestly, I was just shocked. I was just shocked at who the murderer was. So.
Yeah. No, so I mean, so earlier, right, with 5, you asked, you know, did we figure it out? And I figured out that it was Dermot Mulroney. And by the way, we need to throw a shout out to him, because God damn it, I love every single movie that guy's in. I was trying to get Amanda to like want to watch.
He's good. I like
that
guy. He's
good. He's great. He is. Oh man, he is. He lives in my heart. But listen, when they said that he was put on the case of his daughter's death, I thought, well, that just gave it away right there, because no police commissioner, right, would ever, right, there's that conflict of interest. You can't. You,
oh,
can't,
I didn't think of that.
You can't oversee.
They wouldn't have put him on the case
of your daughter. Right.
before the death, though, they put him on the case involving his daughter.
If it involves his daughter.
And
exactly.
I was like,
Yeah, so that one was
I was like, you're the killer. Yeah.
Now, did I see the dead daughter?
I didn't know who was. Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't see the curly haired guy coming until the subway scene.
Agreed.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you're in on it. You're fucking in on it, you piece of shit. Because why wouldn't you be like running to her side? Like why? I mean, obviously there's 1,000 ghost faces out here. Why aren't you afraid? Like, why aren't you looking around?
Yeah. So he did run to her side. But he did run to her side
after it was
after
over.
She was stabbed.
Well, it was dark.
Did you guys expect there was 3 of them? Did you go like, oh shit, there's fucking 3 of them now?
No.
No, that was a total shock. And I did like the climax location, the old theater with all the like old Scream memorabilia. I thought that was really cool. I think technically, and we haven't used this, to use this word for a movie like this and Saving Private Ryan, I think is funny. But cinematographically, I think this movie was beautifully shot.
Yes.
Above all other Scream movies was shot better. It was technically a better movie. The quality was better. The color was better. The music was better. It's almost
I agree with you.
It really stepped up its game.
This was
polished. The last one, I think that they were threading the needle. This one, they went all the way through.
This movie, I felt like it was more suspenseful than like all the scenes, like the from the liquor store to the subway. I was the whole time. I was fuck, man. Like, I actually was not scared, but I was like, I was on my seat. Like, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Who's going to die? Yeah.
Did anyone suspect a gentleman next door who I really, by the way, this actor, he's been in like 10 things. I fucking love him. I don't know what his name is, but he was in Arrow. He was in
Segarra.
He is either like a super nice, funny, goofy, or I've seen him play the villain. He is fabulous both ways.
Oh. I thought it was him. Especially after seeing 5, and like you said, it's always a boyfriend. I was like, but then I thought they couldn't do that to Sam, and then I thought maybe they could do it to Sam. It's be like, man, she has some really shitty luck with the guys that she chooses.
I thought it was the boyfriend and the police officer. I never thought it was actually the curly haired guy. I thought that was too easy. I was like, it can't be him. It's too fucking easy for
us. It's too obvious.
He's the virgin. He's not supposed to be killing people.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Listen, the reason why I'm like really not about the ending of the movie, because I guess maybe it's just because I really wanted Stu to be the fucking killer for whatever reason. Like, I'm just waiting for this mastermind of the original OG killer to be coming
just
back.
Just enjoy the ride.
I'm don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying a ride. It's just like all of a sudden, like I like the fact that the father all of a sudden when he reveals that he's Ghostface, he's like. One fucking ghost phase, he goes all fucking crazy on that one, dude. It was like, oh shit.
Dermot Mulroney, I think that's his name. I always get him confused with the other guy. But he has, first of all, it was a shame not to see him with hair because he has magnificent hair, like literally magnificent hair.
He does.
And he was in a little show called New Girl. And he played Mr. Fancy. Yes.
Oh, he
and
did.
It was great. It was great in that.
He was there.
I'll give you another one. If you want to have a nice, like, rom-com of a movie, Julia Roberts, he's in it. My Best Friend's Wedding and shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Hannah introduced me. I actually really enjoyed that fucking movie. I thought that was a cute movie. Let's get back to horror movies now.
Let's get back to Scream.
So he was the one that definitely said, who gives a fuck about scary For movies, sure. right? It has to be him.
That was your hint right there.
Yep.
Right there. I'm like, oh my God, that was fucking great.
So, Eddie, you are dissatisfied with the motives of the killers from the last movie. Were you equally dissatisfied for this one, or are you okay with this one?
I'm okay with this one because now they're trying to revenge from Richie dying. So it's like, okay, these have motivated, they're motivated. There's a reason.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it made me feel like I was in it. I was like, oh, they're brother, sister, and dad here. They honestly don't give a fuck about any rules. But then at the same time, they're going real close with these masks, and each killer, each death, they're using one by one by one. So someone's following the rules. But I
think they're following Richie's rules.
Yeah. That's what it was. Okay, yeah. So I like how it was meant for Richie, and I like these killers' motives a little bit better. Like it was a police officer vibe that he's using. He's a little dirty cop and using his ways.
I could be wrong, but it felt like the body count in this one was super light.
Compare from last one.
You had the girl who hits her head.
I mean, which
Well, no, you got the three in the beginning, right? The killer.
You have like five people that got killed in the fucking liquor store, man. Liquor store. They literally shot their face off.
That doesn't count. No, that doesn't count.
True, Sean.
No.
There are only four. Jesus.
You got the psychiatrist.
I'm saying of the cast. I mean, if you want to count the therapist.
Ah, it doesn't count. Not part of our core.
The therapist is one.
I'm just saying no OG, no characters of the main cast got killed.
Gail's boyfriend died.
What's his name, man? What's his name?
Gail's boyfriend.
Gail's boyfriend.
It makes me think. So she was on the phone, right?
Yeah.
And he got like, come on, bro. Like a little. You telling me that I know everything in this house. If there's a fucking mouse that ran across the backyard, like
I'm so you're Gail fucking Weathers. That's the apartment you have. Like, where's your security?
Where's your panic room? Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
You telling me you don't hear him?
David Fincher directs this now.
Yeah. But guys, that was the first time that Ghostface called Gail. Gail.
Yeah.
That was the first time, that first interaction. And it was fucking great, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I like the fact where she's like, can I put you on hold for a second? And you hear the Ghostface killer go, huh? And then she shoots the door, dude. I was like, this is fucking great.
I was expecting her to die, but then now I know for 100% fat, she's dying in Nets movie.
She has to die.
Okay, so
100%, huh? 100%.
I'm just saying Nets movie, Gail's dying. They're killing the legacy people now. So I think, and then Sydney.
They're not going to start with the fork war?
No, Sydney won't die until the final one.
They better not.
I'm gonna make a prediction.
Better not fuck with
that's
Sydney.
That's 10.
I'm gonna make a prediction.
They're going four more movies, and it's gonna be every other
Ghostface to Bahamas.
I'm gonna make a prediction. I think that Sydney, it's gonna start off next movie with Sydney's death. Sydney is going to be Sydney's funeral.
She's untouchable.
Everyone's gonna be she's gonna come back, and she's trying to draw out Ghostface one last time to kill any last remnants of.
But the problem is, you're always gonna have stab fans that are gonna go take it too far.
Exactly. The problem is you have Richie fans coming out of nowhere. Yeah. It's nonstop, so it never stops. Here's my question for you guys, because this movie brought back all the other killers. Who's your favorite killer? Ghostface. Your favorite. Out of all the Scream movies, who's your favorite Ghostface killer?
I have to go with Stu.
You're going to go with Stu and Billy because they were OG.
Stu.
No, not Stu.
I'm going to go with Billy from the OG Scream 1, but I'm also going to go with Sydney's cousin, the fourth one.
The niece. That was her niece?
The niece. I actually thought that was like the most original. It almost speaks present time and what
Emma
people
Roberts.
Are going through these days. Yeah. But like, you know, want to be an internet star, a media star. Dude, that was pretty fucking hardcore, man.
Jeremiah, I'm jumping on your bandwagon. Those two are fantastic choices. Yes.
I'm going to go with Billy because Billy is OG. I love Billy. Yep. And then I'm going to go with the mom from Scream 2, I believe it is. Billy's mom.
Laurie Metcalf.
Because you know what? The way she unveiled herself, you can just see she's like, she tilts her head to the side. Like, didn't see that one coming, did you?
How they do it on the stage, and I'm just sitting there.
Throwback
going,
to Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I need to watch that one again, to be honest. Scream 2 and 3, I probably need to watch again.
Bro, you just watched Scream 2. That was Scream 6 right there. It was literally verbatim happened with the same.
I know, but I need to see.
They go to college. It follows her to college.
Yeah, pretty much.
You go to a different city.
Now, who were they accusing of? They were accusing someone else in Scream 2. It was Sydney's boyfriend that, you know, he got arrested.
Oh, he got from Stand By Me.
Cotton.
Was Scream 2?
And Cotton got famous in 3.
Was Scream 2 the one with Omar Epps in the theater?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And his girlfriend died, right? Got stabbed in front of everyone.
Yeah, and
that was Will Smith's wife, right?
Jada Pinkett Smith.
And then he got killed in the bathroom.
And through the ear. Which was just a fantastic way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just amazing. So I personally liked Stu. I liked Stu. Stu is, you know, he's ride or die with his friend Billy.
Scream, baby.
Yeah.
It's a sequel, baby.
It makes you think.
You gotta have sequels.
Think of him, although, as a character, let's say your best friend comes up to you like, hey, dude, like, I just want to go become a serial killer. You want to do it with me? Like, he's like, all right, I'm in. Like he was in, bro. He's so weird.
He's the ultimate wingman.
Yeah, bro. Think about like he was psycho baby. In his own little head to do this for no reason.
You know, I was gonna watch Dawson Creek, but you know, I'll go and I'll do that with you, man. It sounds good.
I love it.
That brings us to the end of our review. Now it's time of the podcast where each of the hosts provides a score on the following scale. Stew face, go face.
Ghost face.
Your scale, please.
Give me more. Come on. Dude, put some respect back in Stew's name.
You hit me with a phone, you fucking dick.
I'm really bleeding out here, man. You stabbed me.
You really stabbed me really deep. Stew's the worst.
I think I'm dying here, man.
I think I'm dying here is probably one of the funniest things of all stream. All right. Zero, the perfect movie. You don't need shit to enjoy. One, a feel-good first cocktail. Two, a happy buzz. Three, you're going to Uber or Lyft home. Four, rough morning walk of shame. Five, blackout, shit-faced, spring break, drunk. Gentlemen, let's start with my other ghost face killer, Brandon.
So with
the first movie.
With five, yeah. So
Scream 5.
Yeah. So I went on a magical journey over the last couple of days of just enjoying a bunch of just slasher movies, which are just not my forte to start with. And what I love about these movies, and I mentioned this earlier, is that it creates not just like scenarios, but what it's done is it's created an entire world that all the pieces fit, all the pieces connect. And Eddie, I do understand what you're saying about the killers in five, but I think that it connects completely with the whole purpose of this metaverse that that you know they created with Randy's character in number one. You know, for me, one is a fucking amazing movie. Two, it has some, it's a good movie. Three, half the movie was fantastic. Half the movie was trash. Four, Jeremiah said it to me off mic a while back. He said, it's an underrated gem. And I agree with that. Five, all of a sudden it swings back. Okay. And I'm not going to give six yet, but five is definitely a major leap in the right direction. I mean, there's things that pissed me off. Dewey dying, I mean, it had to happen, but at the same time it hurt too much to have happened, and I really hated seeing that. But what I love is this idea that they're merging old with new, and then not just new, but they're taking new in the same direction as the old, right? It's a continuation of, it's a story, it's that requel thing. And I'm really torn because, I mean, for me, I want to give these movies really high ratings that they probably, as Sean would say, probably don't deserve necessarily. But what they did is they made a non-slasher film fan out of me, or non-slasher film watcher, a fan of this genre and of these movies. And I think that that's got to say something for the quality of these movies. So for five, I think that there are plenty and so I'm going to give this a one. I'm just going to give it a straight one. It's a feel good first cocktail. I think that it's a great movie for what it does, but what it does even better than anything is it sets up six. And I think that six is where it really kind of it brings it home. So I'm going to give it a one, again, a feel good first cocktail. Sean, I'm going to take it over to you.
Sure. So I agree with you that five had some stumbling blocks, but I think that it was almost the movie that had to happen in order to relieve the franchise of what it had become. Not that it had become anything bad. It just needed a fresh start while still paying homage to the original, still bringing legacy characters. And that's a hard thing to do. I think it did it particularly well while still paying, you know, homage to the theme of what Scream is supposed to be. So for that, I think that, like I said, I said this in the review part, the cinematography, the music, the way the film was shot in five, not as good as six. Six was vastly better. So if it's hard not to compare the two because these are the two we have to deal with. So I'm with Brandon. I'm gonna be a little nicer. I'm gonna give it a 0.75. I'm gonna give it a shot and a half.
Respect.
It's a little better than I expected. To me, six is better still, but you do have this element of it's so nice to sit down and watch a franchise movie, number six of a franchise, and be entertained by it and not critique it to death, not be upset by certain things. There's nothing in the movie that I went, God damn it. Not one thing. Everything is, it could have been a little better. It could have been a little better, but nothing was angrily like pissing me off. Mm-hmm. And that says a lot about a franchise that's six movies deep. So 0.75, and I'll bring it over to my bud.
Thank you. Thank Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be Ghostface Stew. So what you guys were saying, all accurate. This watching five definitely it light a fire up my ass to be like, you know what? This just reignited my love for Scream. I feel like now looking back at it, it's like we were too harsh on Scream 1. Like, it just like, what were we thinking about? You know, I feel like if we could all do one movie to redo, I think Scream was all probably going to be up there for us. Cause I feel like we were a little harder on that time of our careers with this, when we started up. But Scream 5, it definitely, like I said, I didn't like the motive of the killers, but the movie itself was amazing. Like, I thought it was up there, like Brandon and Sean Storr. Like, it had me entertained the whole time. I enjoyed the whole town of Woodsboro. It brought back to the original house. It was cool to see that house. And, you know, there was so much history in that house. And for them, all those kids in there having the party, it was like this like little ritual of like, you know what? Shit's going down in this house. This is just a bad house. But overall, I liked five. I really did like five a lot. Do I like it better than the original Scream? No, but it's up there more than better than like what I was agreeing with three and two. It's up there with, I want to say really tied to with me with four in my head. It definitely has a special place. This whole organization with Scream is in my heart. I'm happy that this came in my timeline. This is the movie. Everyone has a timeline of their movies with scary movies of Halloween and Friday the 13th and, you know, Child's Play. Scream is our generation, and I'm really proud of with what Scream has for it to be hold up a good solid six movies out there. So I'm giving this honestly a 1.5. This is going to be for me a feel good first cocktail of a shot.
Okay. Well, I believe the Scream franchise doesn't get the respect it deserves like the other franchise. It's fresh. It's crazy. It makes you feel like you're a part of the film, man. It's so awesome, man. The Scream reboot, part five, it has the same bones as the original. I think the intro, the opening sequence, hands down, is one of the best since the original. It has a great mix of the OG cast and the new cast. It's a fucking fun roller coaster ride, you know? It pays respects to the original one, but it makes it more relevant, you know, by doing new things to it. I enjoy five more than I enjoy six. I agree with Eddie. Like, I think the motives were kind of like, you know, a little weak sauce, but I get it, you know, especially in this time in our age that we live in, especially with like, you know, troll fans and fans out there and everything like that. But this was a good fucking movie. This was a great introduction to a fantastic franchise, you know? So this was a 1.25 for me here. Seriously. Now I'm going to go to review episode six. We'll just go around.
I would like to know. I'd like to know a total.
Oh.
for Scream 5?
I thought we were going to do that all around, yeah.
No, we can. We can. But
for Scream 5, it's a 1.125.
What do we rate the original Scream at?
Well, I was going to actually go back and talk about Scream 6 and Scream 1 here.
Okay, all right.
By hands down, Scream 6 has some of the best sequence I've seen in a very long time for Scream franchise. The opening sequence, the convenience store, the subway, the theater. Fucking legendary shit here. It was more violent. It felt more brutal. It was more scary, you know what? And it seriously did not one, but it did something totally different here, dude. You actually got to see two Scream a ghost face at the same time. But then it kind of actually breaks it down and goes further that, you know what? Anyone could be psychotic. Anyone has that dark side in them. And you see that with, you know, the final girls in the movie with Ortega and Melissa, those two characters, Tara and Sam. They are a great way to keep this legacy going, dude. I cannot wait for it, dude. I think it's just Scream 5 is a little better movie. I just wish there was more New York into this movie. That's just being selfish about it. But, you know, I'm going to be a little selfish about it. But that is a 1.5 movie for me personally. Now, I'm going to do this for the first time in this podcast history that I'm going to go back to my old score from the original Scream movie. That is a way better fucking movie that deserves to have a better score. I'm changing my score to a 0.5 because it changed the way how we've seen cinema. It opened the doors to new ways how we actually explore the horror movies. That movie should be fucking almost a near perfect movie, dude. That's a 0.5.
Selena was on that podcast.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't. She doesn't like scary movies, Stevens says to this day.
So I'm literally changing my vote to a 0.5 for the original Scream because it should be in the ones.
So did you like six better than five or five better than six? Says it five, you gave a 1.25, But Sits gave a 1.15.
I gave it a 1.5.
Okay.
And then Scream, you gave a 0.5.
Scream is a 0.5. Scream is almost a perfect fucking movie, dude. Hands down.
So I'm with you. I think that I was with you until you gave your score, Jeremy. I think that the 4 points of Scream 6 were the four scenes of Scream 6 were better than probably any scenes in any Scream movies. I thought the plot was fantastic. I thought the acting was great. The music was great. I actually don't have a very big criticism of Scream 6 other than, you know, perhaps I would have liked a little bit more development of the characters, but it's a horror movie. I mean, you got to take what you can get. You know, it's not a perfect movie. I'm never going to give a slasher movie a perfect score, but I'll definitely give it a 0.5. I think Scream 6, as far as enjoyability, watchability, even if you're brand new to the franchise, you can sit down and enjoy 6 just as much as you can enjoy any other of the Scream movies. So I'm going to give it a 0.5, and then Ed, what do you go ahead?
I definitely recommend you watch 5 and 6 at the same time if you can.
Good call.
If there's a way to do that, watch both. I feel like that will be, you enjoy that decision. That will be a cool date night movie. Definitely going to be watch around Halloween time, make it a little bit more interesting. 6 opened up different doors that I don't feel like Scream never actually got to officially. And this did it the right way with opening up, like, you know what? It doesn't have to be in Woodsboro. It could go in New York. The way it started off was remarkable. It blew my mind. I thought, like, oh, this is the Ghostface killer. And we're going to just follow him around. Oh, no, it's not a Ghostface killer. That was pretty cool how that showed. And all these fans of Richie fans, that they're just like Richie and they're out there. It's kind of crazy and it's scary. So I see how that now you guys opened up my eyes with that, with thinking, like, well, you know what? Those are a lot of these fans that are probably to take you to the next level. And, you know, it could be actors, it could be actresses, and, you know, you never know who. But, you know, Scream 6, I loved it. I have nothing really bad to say about it. I agree with Sean, though. You can't put, it's hard to put a slasher movie as a 0. There was little things where Gail's, I just wish that she would have got a little bit more, I don't know, kicking her in the movie. Yeah, maybe something like that. Because I love Gail. I love Courtney Cox. I wanted more of her maybe in the movie. I don't know. It felt like she was in just for a little bit just to get stabbed a couple times and then she's out. But overall, that's me being nitpicky right now. Overall, I think it's a 1. Like, it's for me, it's just a feel good first trap tell.
Nice.
So one.
So, I mean, you guys are throwing out there, it's not a perfect movie, and it is not a perfect movie. But what it did is it took a franchise and it said, let's literally breathe completely new life into it. And yeah, we have our legacy character, really just care. I mean, I guess you can include Hayden Panettiere. But with Courtney Cox, the fact that she survived, I don't quite understand or buy that one. But then again, Chad survived, and somehow Hayden Panettiere survived 4 and is in this one and survived this one after getting completely, you know, shot and maimed. Listen, this movie, I finished watching this and I looked over at Amanda and I was like, that was fucking good. Like, that was good. And she's sitting there going like, I hope they don't just continue going on with it because it kind of gets a little old. And I thought, no, continue, let it get old, because what they're doing is they're bringing in new things. And I mean, I could sit here and talk about continue to talk about things that I really, really enjoyed about this movie. There are some really nail biting sequences that we don't get in any of the other screams. We get the convenience store. We didn't really even talk about it, but the crossing the apartments on the ladder is just, it just got me. And it got me in a really, really good way. Oh my God. And I mean, I know we talked about it, and Jeremiah, you were a little bummed by it. I get it. I understand. But just the sets that are just the set at the end in the movie theater, where you've got just the glass cases of all the different ghost faces looking down on them. I mean, it was haunting. It was eerie. It was fantastic. And so because of that, I'm giving it a 0.35. I think it's a fucking amazing movie. I would watch it again and again and again. I will every single October. So here's a new tradition for me and my family. So I do all appreciate that. Oh yeah. We're watching all of them. I'm even going to watch, what's his name in Scream 3, just kind of come out of nowhere and be like, hey, I'm your brother and I'm going to kill you. So let's go with that.
They could have made that better.
They could have. Absolutely.
All right. When you take those scores and combine by four, what does Scream 6 get an average rating of?
Yes. It gives us a 0.8375. That's a 0.8375.
Well, I think we've definitely reviewed the three best Scream movies.
there's a show out there. Isn't there a Scream show out there that was
is. I haven't
after
seen it.
4 yeah. and 4 and 5?
I'm not sure I would go down that path.
So no, I did, and that's why I never watched. That's the reason why I never watched 5, because it put a bad taste in my mouth. So I was like, oh, 5's not gonna be good. And then 5 was amazing. So if you watch the Scream show, keep going, go past that show and watch these movies.
That show's really good, actually. Question, guys, what do you rank the original one? Do you feel like these are two better than the original one?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that you got the originality of one, but
what did I do?
Eddie gave it a 2.5.
What did I give it?
Let me hear.
I would give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.
Really? A 2.5 and a 2? That's baffling. I would give one probably a 0.5. I would go one a 0.5 if I were rating it.
So the problem that I have with the number one is the same problem I have with a lot of them, Brandon, mm-hmm. is they're not filmed well. They're not. There's no effort in cinematography. There's no effort in, like, the story's good or whatever, but there's no visual stimulation that's unique or different. I felt like 6 had that in spades. It was fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to go back, Jeremiah, I won't be a 2.5 Stream, the original. It would probably be a more of around. It'll be close to Scream 6. I did Scream 6 as a 1. And I feel like that's more like it's a feel good first trot tale for me personally. I feel like because I ranked Scream 6 and Scream 1, the two best movies. And then from there goes to 4 and 5.
So I do think, that 6 to me is a better film than 1. I would rank 1 as a 0.5. I would. So it's to me, it's just a little bit better.
Scream 1 deserves a lot of more love and respect, dude. It is better than Halloween. It's better than fucking Nightmares on Elm Street. It's better than a Jason movie. It changed everything, dude, regarding to how we see horror films.
Way better than Friday the 13th and Halloween.
That was trash. Yeah. All right. If you're a fan of our podcast or you enjoyed our review, please subscribe wherever you're listening and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at the.gentlemanpodcast. You can visit our website, thegentlemanpodcast.com. And if you want to reach out to us, you can do so by email at hosts@thegentlemanpodcast.com. Once again, thank you for listening to our third and fourth really installment of our Halloween Spooktacular. We have one more to come. We hope you enjoy what we have. And as we've just finished out the Ahsoka series, we invite you to go back and look at that series from Disney Plus. And we hope you enjoyed that. It was a labor of love for us to go through that, and it was absolutely fantastic. So with that, gentlemen, I think cheers.
Cheers indeed.
Cheers, guys.
Clink, clink.
We didn't talk about Brian Cox, and we didn't talk about
Point Break. No, but you just
we've grown past those movies.